Welcome to the SEI Podcast Series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts.
So you've talked a lot about involving different kinds of folks, people with different perspectives. And one of the great things about being at Carnegie Mellon is people come to an institution like this to offer their insights. And you've got lots of experience being a student here. Could you talk a bit more about the wider net in this field?
Yeah. So first, I guess what I'd like to say is if you are coming out of a technical background, especially a math background or one where you're not just like, if you don't consider yourself a computer scientist or a programmer, it's okay. There's hope for you. So as I was coming out with my math degree, I was going to these career fairs and I was lining up to these big tech companies and feeling like nobody wanted me because their skill set that they were focusing on was one that was a little bit different from what I had. If you feel like I'm an okay programmer, but I'm a really good deep thinker, and I'm a good mathematician, that's actually one of the corners of what it takes to be a successful data scientist. So, I mean, again, in regard to our previous conversation, you cannot get away with only knowing math. But if you do know math, you're going to be useful to people in a way that that other people will not be. Anyway, there's hope.
All the math majors out there.
Right.
Yeah. We want people like Carson. To build on top of that too, there's a wide spectrum of data science. As you said, it's getting really really hot recently. Mm-hmm. So there's a wide spectrum of data science work. Right. There's a lot of let's just sit down and just program a lot of stuff and glue a bunch of libraries together and do some really basic data analysis, which is really, really fundamental work that needs to be done for a lot of companies. And then there's all the stuff like, let's invent a whole new field of math to solve this one specific problem, right? And there's a whole spectrum in between. And what as you can kind of obviously tell, is what that needs is a whole wide variety of people with a whole spectrum of talents to work on that. So for example, in our team, the Emerging Technology Center, I have a computer science / biochemistry background. We have other people on our team who have a PhD in physics. We have people who have a bachelor's in political science, et cetera. And we all work together to create a really, really impactful machine learning / computer science team. And what's important is that even though deep learning is supposed to learn all these things by itself, it can't. You need experts who are really good at all of these varied fields, subject matter experts, right? If we're trying to solve a bio problem, you need a bio subject matter expert to be able to kind of tell you when things go wrong. Because let's say a deep learning model learns something and it performs well, there's an accuracy, but let's say just learn the completely wrong, like it actually, right, behind the scenes, it's learning some confounding variable. Mm-hmm. You need an expert to be able to say, like, hold up, that's not it. Like, there's something else going on here that you should be looking at. It takes a whole team to kind of do this. And it may be hard for someone who's not experienced in computer science or deep learning or machine learning to kind of break into this stuff. But with the democratization of machine learning and the speed at which it's going, it's very easy to get into. And I would say, again, and this kind of builds on your earlier point of this field is advancing very rapidly, this field, deep learning, is not the solution to all problems. There may be researchers out there that disagree with me, and they say, "Oh no, deep learning is the way." If I may recommend to the audience, and we'll link this in a transcript, a paper by Gary Marcus from the New York University talking about the limitations of deep learning. There is lots of work to be done to truly get to artificial general intelligence, and deep learning is, at least in my opinion, a very small piece of that. Okay. And we need people from all backgrounds, cognitive psychology, biology, chemistry, math, physics, everyone to come together and work towards solving this problem.
And so that helps to link the evolving techniques and technology to the correct things, but it helps to focus which direction they evolve towards, too.
Yes.
As well,
right? Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to live in this hubris that, like, yeah, computer science and machine learning can solve everything. Mm-hmm. No, these fields exist for a reason, right?
Right.
We need subject matter experts from these fields to guide us, to tell us what we're supposed to be doing, and to actually tell us what are the problems that we need to be solving, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes a village. It takes a village to do something well.
Okay, so I want to focus in on an effort that you're undertaking, Carson, where you're looking really at, in the realm of cybersecurity, what are the places where there's a sweet spot for machine learning and maybe where there are less fruitful avenues. Can you talk a little bit about your ongoing research there?
Yeah, so I'll actually start a little bit broader than that to jump off of something that Ritwik was mentioning. Which is the relationship between deep learning research and artificial intelligence research that's happening today. So artificial intelligence is a word that people love to use, and I feel like every person who uses it slightly differently, depending on what science fiction books you read, what news broadcasts you watch, what blogs you follow. Personally, what's great about it is that there are so many experts in the field who disagree with each other. And it's really exciting to, you know, read the latest either artificial intelligence blog post or deep learning blog post and see, like, here is the way in which these experts are disagreeing today. Research advances are happening every single day. And it is kind of breathtaking and wild and quite difficult to follow. I think if anyone tells you they know how AI is shaping up, I believe they're lying to you. I believe that, like, no one person really understands what's happening in the field right now.
It's impossible to keep up with everything. There's so much going on.
Yeah, you might very well know how your local field is shaping up, but it is very hard unless you are, you know, maybe a luminary in the field who kind of talks to everyone to really know which way AI is going in. It's very hard to know because AI, again, has many definitions across many different fields.
Yeah. So one of the best minds Carnegie Mellon ever had was a gentleman named Herb Simon. You might have heard of him.
And
I had the great pleasure of taking a class with him. And he said, I don't read anything. All my friends do. And they tell me what the most important recent publications are. I think you're getting at the pattern Herb was talking about.
It's good to have good content aggregators. Yeah. There's a lot of noise, and it's actually really good to have smart friends who can tell you where the signal is.
Yeah.
What's really interesting, and I talk about this some in the blog post that I wrote a few weeks ago, is that knowledge is coming out of places where you might not expect. Mm-hmm. You could just be... There are people who are previously totally unheard of researchers who discover something really interesting about deep learning and write a blog post on it on Medium. And that is the article that gets shared and then gets cited in somebody's research paper two months later. It's interesting because there's this haystack of ideas that people think work, and there are a few needles in them of actually good ideas. Yeah. It requires skill and discretion to sort through it, I think.
And diversity of thought behind it, right? You need to be able to think about a lot of things and how they interact, all those things interact together to be able to get that new insight.
Thank you for joining us. Links to resources mentioned in this podcast are available in our transcript. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. And on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.